All right, can we move into gender proper then? Item three, blue-green spongy city concept, adapting to climate change. I believe this is something that DSD are going to present to us. Mr. Lau, welcome.
Thank you, Chairman and members of the Harbourfront Commission. DSD, Drainage Services Department, is pleased to be here to share our recent modern drain stormwater management. That is a blue-green or sponge city concept that will be used for mainly adaptation for the climate change issues. And I will divide my presentation in four parts. And the first is the general introductions, and then part two, our blue-green and sponge city concept. And I will also share some overseas experience or cases. And the last, I will show you how our DSD is moving on. First of all, DSD has two main roles. One is for the flood prevention, and another is for the wastewater management. Since the establishment of DSD in 1989, we have exercised our professionalism to plan, design, construct, and operate our drainage system. And we have spent over $25 billion so far. And we own quite a number of facilities, including about 2,400 kilometer drains, 360 kilometer river channels, 21 kilometer drainage tunnels, 3 numbers of stormwater storage tank, and 27 village project schemes. We have said before, we have 4 drainage tunnels situating at the Chunwan, Lai Chi Kok, Kai Tak, and Hong Kong West. Among them, the Hong Kong West drainage tunnel is the longest one. It's about over 10 kilometers, and with the last diameter over 7 meters. We have also 3 underground storage tanks to protect Hong Kong right now. The Tai Hung Tong with a storage capacity of 100,000 meter cube, and the second one is in Shenwan, is about 10,000 meter cube storage capacity. And also we have most recently completed in Happy Valley, the storage capacity is 60,000 meter cube. And with all those drainage facilities in place, we have successfully removed the flooding backstop since 1995 from 1996. In total, we have removed over 120 flooding backstop to protect the city from the severe flooding. But actually, some challenges are approaching us also. Indeed, Hong Kong, maybe some of them already know that, is one of the cities among the Pacific regions with the highest annual maximum annual rainfall. The average annual rainfall in Hong Kong is 2,400 mm, even more than Singapore, Manila, and Bangkok. Furthermore, the rainfall, most of the rainfall in Hong Kong will concentrate in the wet season. That's why it's not uncommon to observe that, and hourly rainfall of 100 mm always occur in Hong Kong. And this also support what we have lead a robust drainage system. I think most of the Hong Kong people has experienced the impact of the super typhoon Haitou in August last year. During the passing of this super typhoon, some low-lying areas such as the Tai O, Lei Yuen Moon, and Hung Fa Chun were flooded by the high tide and as well as the storm surge. IPCC is an organization, Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, was established in 1989 under the United Nations. It regularly review and observe and predict the impact of the climate change to the human. In 2013, IPCC has published the assessment report number 5 that have established 4 predetermined RCP scenario, namely RCP 2.6, RCP 4.5, RCP 6.0, RCP 8.5, depending on the emission of the greenhouse gas by the human. And the worst will be the RCP 8.5. Based on the prediction in AR5, the most probably trend will be RCP 4.5 or RCP 6.0. Of course, those predictions are still highly uncertain and we are not sure what will happen very soon. However, actually, Hong Kong Observatory, HKO, has told us some statistics or figures. In 1886, the hourly maximum rainfall is only 88 mm, but now it has been increased to 145 mm. And more importantly is that normally it will take about 40 years to break this record. And in the last few decades, the record has been break several times. And that means the extreme event has actually happened more frequent and frequent. Based on the IPCC AR5 report, HKO has undertook the downscale weather model. And in the weather model, they predict that the sea level rise will, by the end of this century, will be about 700 to 900 mm. That's quite alarming. And of course, I mentioned before the impact is actually uncertain, but most of the scientists believe that actually climate change is happening. So to meet this challenge, our department, Drainage Service Department, are moving from the traditional resistant approach to resilience approach, that's the blue green or sponge city concept. Blue actually represent the rivers and water bodies, and green is the landscape and greening. They share actually similar objectives and concept with the sponge city in mainland China, more focusing on the infiltration, detention, storage, purification and reuse rather than the discharge. Collectively, these two concepts could increase the flood resilience, improve the stormwater quality, provide reusable water, reduce local flooding issue and the heat island effect. That could help to adapt the climate change and improve the living environment. All over the world, there have similar concept with different terminology. Just share a few here. For example, the Water Sensitive Urban Design, WSUD, in Australia, ABC Water in Singapore, SUDS, Sustainable Drainage System in UK, and in USA, they use the term low impact development or the best management practice. They share the similar concept and objectives. Our department in recent years is promoting the blue green infrastructures, and we have 2 categories with in total 7 elements. The first 3 will be river revitalization, flood retention lake and the underground storage tank. And the second category with 4 elements, green roofs, porous pavement, bioswale and the water harvesting. In the past, DSD has been constructing quite a number of concrete drainage channels that actually is very effective and good hydraulic performance to discharge runoff to the sea. And this has protect the city from severe flooding for a number of years. To meet the new challenge, we are more keen to shape our community with more green channels. Revitalization of old levels and channels can improve the water-friendly culture and improve the biodiversity or even the ecological value of the rivers and the surrounding areas. And the Kai Tak River and the Lam Chin River are two rivers we have revitalized and completed the project. In the Sum Jun River Recreation Projects, we built a flood pond or a flood lake at the middle stream of the river, Sum Jun River. This can use to delay the peak runoff from the upstream of the Sum Jun River in heavy rainstorm. In normal days, this flood retention lake will be served as the water pond for wildlife and birds, thus enhancing the ecological value of the rivers and the surrounding areas. We did quite a number of green roofs, and we have installed green roofs for 70 facilities for DSD. And in total, we have now provided green roofs area of over 30,000 square meters with an annual increase of 4,000 square meters per annually. We also make use of our drainage projects to connect the rainwater and the groundwater for irrigation, toilet flushing, street cleansing after proper treatment. Right now, I show you two examples. One is the Lai Chi Kok drainage tunnel, and another is the Happy Valley underground storage tank. Both have actually helped us to save water over 250,000 meter cube water a year. And this another example that our department had completed. That's the Kowloon City No. 1 sewage pumping station. In this project, we have in place a few blue-green infrastructure elements, including the rainwater harvesting, green roof, porous pavement. In addition to the installation of solar panel at the roof, actually this facility is the first government facility to win the BIM plus Pandium rating in 2017. For the new development areas in Hong Kong, our department has been collaborating with other counterparts, including the Civil Engineering and Development Department, to promoting our blue-green concept at their development. And I show you an example, that's the Anderson Road COVID site. This project has an area of about 40 hectares and the site formation and infrastructure works is now under construction by CEDD. The population, this project can house about 25,000 people, and the first population index will be 2023 to 2024. DSD and CEDD work closely in the early planning stage of this project, and basically, most of our promoted blue green infrastructure elements have been included in this project, including bounce rail, green roof, porous pavement, one underground storage tank, and one flood retention lake. In the normal rainy days, in the normal weather conditions, the water depth of this flood retention lake is less than 1 meter. And the public can enjoy the water-friendly culture around the lake and the greening area in the adjacent of this flood lake. However, in the heavy rainy days, the flood leg will be used as flood storage and a temporary storage of the runoff and rainfall. This actually is a very good example of another concept that the land could use, where especially variable land in urban area, which we can have two or multi-function for the community. Now I would like to show you some overseas examples for sharing. The first is Water Square in Rotterdam, the Netherlands. It's near the Rotterdam railway station and is designed as a basketball court or a civic square with function of temporary storage, infiltration. Another is quite common to have bounce rail or porous pavement at near the for the carriageway or the footpath. They are both common used in the Netherlands. Rain garden, this a similar type or another type of blue green infrastructures with biofiltration functions. They have widely adopted in the Australia. Normally, they will be installed at the central divider in the carriageways and the outdoor car park. Harbour mainland China, 14 River is an example. This river is a two-stage river. In dry season, the people can or is free to go to the lower level of the river to enjoy the river and the water friendly culture. In the wet season, the lower level of the river will be flooded and closed. People will not be allowed to enter the lower part of the river. So that's what our department is doing right now, but what's our way forward? We will continue to identify some suitable overlanders or drainage channel for virtualization purpose. This is found to be good for improving the living environment, the biodiversity, or sometimes the ecological value. One example is the Chuiping River we are now underpinning and design. Of course, we will continue to collaborate with other counterparts, including the government department like CDD. For example, we are working closely with CDD for the Tung Chung Liu Tang extension at this moment. The existing Tung Chung River is a channelized river, is a channel. We will target to revitalize this channel into a Tung Chung River and to make it the first river park in Hong Kong for the community enjoyment. Of course, other blue green infrastructures, elements such as the constructed wetland, biofiltration, bioswale will be widely adopted in this project. DSD is not working or are doing this job alone, and we have quite a number of friends from the water industry. Over the past year, DSD proactively held quite a number of events to encourage collaboration with the water industry and the academics. For example, we have annual DSD research and development forums, and we have academic gathering to exchange views and the late state-of-the-art experience and knowledge. We will also meet the green groups, friends, and arrange site visits to share experience and receive their views. We also actively participate in the international network, especially under the climate change ambit. DSD is a founding member of the Connecting Delta City, CDC, under the C40 Cities organizations, which we can connect with other Delta City with similar climate change issue and solution to share. One new initiative I would like to introduce is the Yunlong Bawa scheme. With this scheme, we'll build a tidal barrier over a span of 60 meters in length. And this Bawa scheme will be the first in Hong Kong upon completion to protect the Yunlong Town Center from the severe flooding caused by the storm surge, high tide, as well as the windstorm. And another new initiative is the flood proofing concept. Maybe I show you a video here, less than 1 minute, and very quick to see some idea whether it's suitable for to use for some low level facilities in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's all my presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Lau. I think very interesting and informative briefing. Thank you very much. I mean, clearly the potential impact of climate change is very relevant to the work of the Commission. So I think it's very important that we are up to date in terms of what we're doing, how we're dealing with things in Hong Kong as a whole. I'm personally very encouraged to see some of these blue-green infrastructure initiatives. And this, you know, adoption of the sponge city concept. I'm not sure, Mr. Lau, about the word sponge city, but I'm not sure it conveys necessarily the drive and the initiative that you're taking. But anyway, that's for others to decide. But I think encouraging that we are obviously facing the challenge. Members, comments, reaction, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Apologies that I would like to express my views in Cantonese. Sorry.
Please.
講俾市民大眾聽喺呢方面嘅價值同埋重要性咧，令到佢哋唔會爭住少少錢咧就停咗，因為有唔少發展咧，其實佢有呢啲水嘅，同埋亦都有運用翻啲雨水嘅，但係因為慳錢，所以停咗。咁呢樣嘢都希望咧，即係喺成個政策方面咧留意嚇、啊。我嘅意見係咁，多謝主席。
Thank you very much. Please, let's work down the line. Okay. Shall we get architect first?
Yep. Thank you, Chairman. I think because this particular issue, I also want to speak in Cantonese because I would rather the message be spread to the general public more effectively.
No problem.
首先我要申報利益先啊，就渠務處是我們其中一個工作夥伴，剛才他 show 的幻燈片有部分都是我們和渠務處合作的項目。就這個議題，我會覺得第一就是，其實渠務處在過往的，我相信我的認知都有七八年做這件事，我會覺得是個進度慢不理想，同埋可以做得更多，可以做得更好，尤其是喺整個區域性嘅一啲防洪或者係我哋而家講緊 blue green 呢種咁嘅概念。咁尤其我會希望局長可以將個信息帶上去，就係我有少少覺得渠務處係一個孤軍作戰咁嘅環境，即係好努力去做。咁但係一個好嘅政策，尤其是對香港城市整體，係需要一個跨局、跨部門、跨政策嘅唔同嘅政府各個夥伴一齊合作去做。咁如果就咁一個其中一個工作一個 works department 好努力去做咧，其實好辛苦之餘，個進度都會慢嘅。咁喺香港，我哋睇到係一啲好嘅政策，尤其是呢類嘅政策。我相信牽涉政治爭拗比較少，希望是能夠是我們所謂叫做 bottoms up 和 top down 同時一起去做，希望在這方面令到香港是盡快加快在這方面的城市的 infrastructure， 即是我們基建設施是完善化的。其實渠務處在跑馬地好，在九龍做了一些 underground water tank storm water tank， 其實是那個效用大家很明顯看到的。咁但係作為一個城市設計師的角度，我覺得仲有空間可以改善。例如頭先個 slide show 到喺外國嘅一啲經驗，係利用呢啲設施，平時如果唔喺一啲 inclement weather， 佢係可以容許一啲市民去使用。咁當然我都理解，譬如跑馬地地下儲用池，佢哋都有譬如容許一啲拍電影啊等等嘅製作嘅單位入去使用，咁但係會唔會再有啲空間諗多啲係呢類咁嘅空，即係呢類咁嘅設施同空間係能夠令到市民喺唔係即係暴雨或者係惡劣天氣嘅時候都可以使用到咧？咁尤其是 Green Channel 呢個 concept， 我覺得喺香港嚟講都係絕對合適同埋需要，尤其是我哋一個咁高密度嘅城市。咁即係可以講話係幾個好希望政府整個團隊就呢個議題能夠俾多啲支持或者跨政策部門，令到佢個進度能夠加快嘅。唔該，主席。
Right, quite a lot of people. Francis first, please.
Chairman, I would like to speak in Cantonese as well.
Yes, just speak in Cantonese. Don't.
Yeah.
Please.
非常歡迎渠務處呢一個諗法啦，或者佢呢個做法。咁特別喺個 land co-use 呢個 concept 咧，我想可唔可以渠務處咧喺針對我哋海港海濱嘅所有佢自己有現有嘅設施咧？可唔可以都有做一個 review， 可唔可以改善佢呢，即係令到佢可以 co-use with 我哋提倡嘅休閒啊、市民嘅使用啊，咁令到佢 user friendly 一啲，就有啲可能有啲設施係比較陳舊啊，有啲比較即係比較核突啊，比較肉酸啊，即係好好 好功能性嗰啲咧，可唔可以有一部分可以改善佢咧？咁就變咗可以即係喺協助即係成個海濱嘅改善嘅環境會快一啲。
Thank you, Francis. I think Francis has got a good point. I mean, we are the Harbourfront Commission. I know people have general comments, but let's not start trying to redesign the whole of the drainage system in Hong Kong. Please, Raymond, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. First of all, I'd like to add my commendation for DSD and the administration for all the efforts to combat the climate change challenges. I have actually four questions. The first one already asked by Francis, I don't want to repeat. My second question is about the, I'm glad to see that the idea of reuse the flood water for flushing purpose. Now I understand that for the current, is it three major flood water storage tanks, the current system is that it will be pumped into the harbor after the peak at that time. But there's a separate system operated by Water Supply Department pumping seawater for flushing purpose. I wonder if administration has any plan to connect the two systems from the flood storage tank direct to the Water Supply Department flushing system. That's my first question. My second question is, as far as the Harbourfront Commission is concerned, we have a particular concern about the coastal areas flooding problem causing by wave attack, particularly during the typhoon period. Is there any systematic plan to enhance our marine defensive work to prevent such flooding possibility, noting the increasing seawater rise as predicted by the Hong Kong Observatory? You're talking about 700 to 900 millimeter in 2100. My third question is, the concept of enhancing infiltration is good. That will reduce the flood water. But for the developed urban area in Hong Kong, it's almost 100 hard covered. Is there any idea on the current percentage of hard cover in our urban area? Is there any long-term plan target for a reduction in these hard cover areas in order to enhance infiltration in the urban areas? Thank you.
Very much. Paul, and then I think Becky, please.
Thank you for that presentation. This is the Harbourfront Commission, so we're pretty much interested in the 73 kilometres around Victoria Harbour, which we have not spent a lot of time on in your presentation. So maybe in the responses you can spend a little bit of time on the 73 kilometres, which is within our remit. And I would think of things like if sea level rises is going to have an impact on, for example, outfalls. Are they going to need pumps to get the water out if water rises? I mean, do you need land, basically, on our waterfront? The interceptors, and how this ties in with the other study that's in progress on the improvement of the near-shore water qualities in Victoria Harbour, and how this ties in with your work related to the resilience in terms of climate change. And maybe you can give us an update on that study. It would be nice. Are you reviewing the need or the possibility of using waterfronts for storage tanks, which can be used for collecting grey water? And because I think I understand that water catchments and capture is some time of the year, and water use is the rest of the year, so that storage capacity is the main obstacle to grey water being integrated in our systems effectively. And then the fourth point is the improving of shared use. Now, I know that you do a lot with the green groups on river training and making sure that ecology and is the share use of your null ass basically by and make sure that there are also good habitats for various species, whether it's plants or flora or fauna. But shared use in terms of the human beings, of course, on the waterfront. And I can only outline one issue that I've seen real good thinking on that one overseas, where is the waterfront, which is right next to my mother's place, where I will be in 2 days' time, where the coastal defense of the Netherlands, they've basically taken out the dunes, build massive dikes. Those dikes are car parks, and then put the dunes back over the car parks, and then stopped all the roadside parking and diverted all that parking to the now new car parks, which are the coastal defense system of the town. So we've lost we've opened up the city for reduced car parking in the streets, improved traffic flows, make the city more appreciable, and we improved our defense systems at the same time. So that seems to be, that's kind of a very integrated way of going about it. I know from your work at the Tung Chung River Valley that the Green Groups have asked the Drainage Services Department to take on not only the small section of Tung Chung River, which has already been drained, but the rest of the river as well, that one that is going to retain its natural state. But that you had great difficulty getting support from that, from the Development Bureau, and that this basically never happened, so that Drainage Services only takes care of a very small bit, which is a missed opportunity. So I'm afraid that we may miss more opportunities if we don't have that integrated thinking, that integrated work, and that support at policy level to work accordingly. So I hope you can give us some indication that life is improving and that there is more integrated thinking and working within government. Thank you.
Paul, Becky, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I also have 2 points. The first one is, I think, really about safety, because this actually provides quite a good overview. But when we are talking about the harbour front, if you look at all of the RCP scenarios, they would be associated with an increase in sea level, and there are quite a number of low-lying areas, including not really the development of Kennedy Town area, the Hung Fao Chin area, especially when you have this underground development. Now, towards the end of your presentation, you have shown some of the examples, but I think they're rather not very new and rather piecemeal. It's similar to the wood plank that people put in Shangwan for a long time. We have to do this kind of systematically in order to deal with this type of things that we know would be coming along the harbour front. And the examples of Macau, I think, should give us, you know, kind of an important warning that we have to do something systematically about that along our harbour front. The second point is, again, about the harbour front. You mentioned about the reduction of the flooding black spots over time, and there's only 6 remaining. I just want to know whether the spatial distribution of these 6, are they along the harbour front, or are they all outside of the harbour front? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Please, Karen, thank you.
Thank you very much. A very interesting presentation. Just 2 questions. Does DESD intercept for rubbish as well as water so that drains do not direct the rubbish into the harbour? And does DSD peruse all new projects in Hong Kong to ensure that the philosophy is embraced by all new building projects with government and private developers? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Right, Mr. Lau. I mean, general message, I think, is the need for a more integrated, cohesive approach, policy supported. I mean, that seems to be an overriding message. But in terms of your responses, perhaps you could focus primarily on those that are relevant to this commission, those affecting the harbour and the harbour front, because we could get into a lot of detail on things which aren't necessarily relevant to this commission. So maybe just focus your responses at this stage on the questions you've had about the harbour and the harbour and our role as harbour front commission. And then what I suggest we do is we ask for you to provide a detailed written response to all the questions we've had, and we can circulate that to members. But just for the moment, focus on the harbour, if you would. Thank you.
好啊，多謝主席。咁或者我哋用廣東話回應翻有一啲問題。我怎整體回應翻我嗰啲問題？首先就係我哋渠務處本身係有一定係有一個咁嘅目標，就係、是、希望盡量將嗰個藍綠建設呢個概念係推廣出去嘅。咁亦都我哋其實喺2017年嘅施政報告，其實我哋都有將呢樣嘢寫入去個嗰個目標入邊嘅。咁所以我哋有咗呢、這個施政報告嘅支持咧，其實我哋係已經同唔同嘅政府部門係協作咗，同埋係有可以咁講係有一定嘅成果嘅。例如我頭先聽到有委員提過就話嗰、那個沖刺嗰個問題，其實咧我哋係喺安達臣道石礦場發展項目入邊咧，我哋係有一個第一次同水務處有一個合作，就係、是、話將我哋喺安達臣道石礦場發展項目裏面有一個地下嘅粗洪池嘅。呢、這個地下粗洪池嘅大致上嘅概念係同跑馬地個相約啦，但係其實喺佢呢個粗洪池嘅隔離咧，係有一個水務處嘅一個將會係香港全港第一個嘅中水重用設施嚟嘅。咁呢個中水重用設施咧，就係、是、主要將安達臣道石礦場嘅住户入邊嗰啲中水，咁中水係咩呢？除咗洗手間嘅水啦，簡單少講，即係譬如洗衫水啦，平時淋花啊嗰啲水咧，全部咧都會收集咗去呢個中水重用設施入面。咁佢會處理完之後咧，就會攞翻嚟做居民嘅沖廁之用嘅。喺呢個兩個設施之間咧，其實我哋已經同水務署有一個目標。就係話將我哋地下粗洪池入面嘅水，可唔可以都同中水嗰個設施可以拼合一齊去考慮，就係令提供多一個水資源，令到嗰個中水重用係更加有效果呢？咁我哋做緊呢個目標。所以簡少講就係話，其實我哋係有利用翻我哋地下粗洪池收集到嘅水嘅。我哋而家用緊嘅水咧，地下粗洪池收集到嘅水咧，主要就係做淋花啦，沖廁或者係洗街都會有，咁加埋我哋最新發展喺安達臣道石礦場嗰個項目咧，其實我哋就同水務署有一個合作，就係、是、加強嗰個中水重用嗰個概念。咁呢個係一個我哋而家進行中嘅項目嚟嘅。咁另外咧都提過就係話，如果係講緊維港兩岸其實我哋嗱頭先提過下，就係話我哋嗰個水浸黑點咧係大大減略到而家有六個。其實主要都係一啲我哋以往嚟講，歷史上主要係針對一啲暴雨衍生嗰啲水浸大規模水浸問題，所以而家氣候變化引申嗰個海平面上升咧，呢個係一個新嘅，可以咁講係一個新嘅挑戰嚟嘅。尤其喺啲低洼地區受到水平面上漲影響嗰個水浸問題咧，呢樣嘢我係會同，而事實上亦都同土木工程拓展處有一個緊密嘅聯繫，就係、是、其實佢哋主要係睇緊啲海港設施，同埋睇緊由呢個水平面影響上升對周邊沿海兩岸嗰啲地區嘅水浸問題，會係要去諗一個比較系統化嘅有系統咁去睇下緊個影響有幾大。我哋會喺另外一個平台就同土木工程拓展處合作去做一啲研究，去有系統咁睇睇呢個氣候變化、水平面上升引起嗰個影響係點樣嘅？呢個係亦我哋計劃係會進行嘅。咁有啲數據我係可能暫時我係未有嘅，因為頭先提過有啲委員提過就話有幾多係已經係石屎化咗嘅地面啊，嗰啲數據我暫時喺渠務處方面我係暫時未曾掌握。但係有一樣嘢就係其實我哋會不時透過一啲新嘅項目咧，就去同一時間趁住一個機遇就去改善翻我哋渠務系統嘅設施。呢樣嘢其中一個例子就係我哋喺觀塘一個污水泵房，其實我哋會有一個改建，同時係透過呢個機會咧，我哋會美化同埋咧令到公眾人士有機會上到去嗰個天台嘅，因為我哋個天台都會有做一個天台花園咁樣，啲市民係可以上到去嘅。咁呢個係一個另外一個叫做 co-use 嘅概念啦，共用嘅概念，我哋會繼續去睇翻呢啲咁嘅概念嘅。 咁至於所以頭先都有委員提過安全問題，即係話喺咁樣嘅情況之下，咁我哋喺沿海兩岸嗰啲地區或者城市，即係嗰啲周邊嘅地區，究竟要點樣做呢個咁樣嘅防禦設施呢？咁呢個其實世界各地都面對緊同一個問題，尤其係啲大城市。所以呢，我諗呢個唔係單一香港我哋可以諗到嘅方法。原因就係其實好多外國嘅城市，例如荷蘭，頭先都提過，佢哋有好高嘅低嘅，亦都會做好多一啲大嘅水閘。但係其實嗰啲呢，最近的發展都似乎覺得究竟這個是不是一個最好的一個選擇來的呢？原因就是這個對個生態環境都會有一個影響，它將啲海水集了之後，究竟是不是對整個地區的生態最好呢？似乎大家現在全世界性來講都是向緊這個叫做韌性的基建，即是 resilience approach infrastructure 這個方向行緊的。縱使是講緊荷蘭，佢哋做一啲新嘅填海區，佢哋都係比較着重一啲生態環境同嘅考慮方面。咁所以我哋會佢每次會同繼續向同其他政府部門啦，其他外國有類似問題嘅城市啦，同埋一啲業內嘅人士一齊去研究啦，同埋所以點解我哋會舉辦咁多呢啲同業內的同事溝通啊，或者其他城市溝通，就是這樣的原因。因為這個問題是不是香港獨有的，似乎是世界性的。當然啦，香港會有一個特色，就是個雨量是比其他區是地區是高，這個是一個事實來的。所以我想我們會繼續努力 去向這方面做一點啦。多謝主席。
All right, thank you, Mr. Lau. What I'm going to suggest is that Mr. Lau prepares, or his DSD prepare a detailed response to all the questions we've raised today. And then obviously that can be circulated amongst the Commission. I sense this is the start of a dialogue with DSD, and you probably would like, the new Commission would probably like to invite Mr. Lau back in the future to continue this discussion, particularly about the impact of climate change on rising sea levels. I mean, that is fundamental, I think. In terms of the work of the Commission. Are people happy with that? Because I think we need detailed responses to the questions we've raised, and that then can form the platform for a further discussion. Are people happy to leave it like that? Freddie, did you want to say something very quickly? Sorry.
Yes, very quickly. Sorry, I must apologize for coming in late. Just have one reminder. I totally support what DSD is proposing. I think it's a very ambitious and also a very foresightful vision. I appreciate and commend that. But there's one issue that malaria is on the rise globally. So in your proposals in the future, I would appreciate it if you could work closely with FEHD, a department not directly under your control, and also perhaps with EPD when doing the environmental assessment report, to have any preemptive measures to prevent it. There were news just this morning that they are now making use of this genetically engineered mosquitoes to combat malaria. I hope Hong Kong wouldn't need to go into that, because you know, knowing the people of Hong Kong, they can easily blame that onto all these blue-green concepts, and people start to object to it. Then we will be missing the point of your hard work because of just this small issue. Thank you very much.
All right. Mr. Lau, thank you very much. Could we have, as I say, a written response from you and your colleagues to the questions raised, and the new Commission can then decide how they want to take it forward. Thank you very much for coming today. Thank you.
Thank you.